What a great song, and what a message for today. Sometime this last week, our president declared today to be a national day of prayer. I'm thankful, no matter what you think of him, I'm thankful that we have a president that really believes in prayer and ask God's people to pray in a time of crises. I talked to Brother Steve Ziner yesterday. Brother Ziner has been a good friend of mine for many years. And by the way, he said to tell you all hello. He said something to me that really stuck. He said, "What if we didn't send missionaries overseas because most of the countries they go to have malaria and yellow fever? What if we had to wait until all the mosquitoes were exterminated before we sent our missionaries?" And I thought, wow, what a statement. Brethren, we are in some times that many people are afraid. But we ought not be operating on the spirit of fear, but in the spirit of faith. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 91. You know, when you've pastored a church this long, and some of you have been here this long, some of the stories, I could just say number one, you'd know what I was talking about. My introduction to this psalm was actually in a rest home many years ago in Pontiac, Michigan. I had went with a man who preached there every Sunday, and he asked me if I would go that Sunday and preach. And so when we were done, he said, "I'd like for you to meet somebody." And so we got on an elevator and went up to the second, maybe the third floor, got off the elevator and walked a couple of rooms and walked into a room. And there lay a lady in her bed. He had told me she was blind. I wouldn't have known it had he not told me. And we came in, and she had a big smile on her face. And so there was a little bit of chit-chat for a moment, and he said to her, he says, "I'd like to read something from the Word of God. What would you like for me to read?" And she said, "Psalm 91. As he began to read this psalm that we'll read in a moment, I saw her lips moving, and she knew this by heart. He told me later he had read that psalm to her almost every week. She loved it. When he was done, we had some prayer and talked a moment. She said, "Sonny, you got to see many, many beautiful things." But she says, "I have something you'll never have. Because the first thing I will ever see is Jesus." What a testimony. Let's read this psalm that was such a favorite of this lady. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come upon thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread down the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much that on this day we can call upon you. Lord, we thank you that you not only hear, but you answer prayer. And Lord, we also must thank you that you answer according to your will and not ours. Forgive us when we tell you how to do it. But, oh God, we do wish for you to move upon our hearts. Lord, there's some here today that are hurting. There's some here today that need a special touch from heaven. There may be somebody under the sound of my voice that does not know you as their Savior, and they need you. Lord, I don't know the needs of people, but you do. I don't know how to speak to hearts, but your Spirit does. And so we ask for that today. We pray that through it all, that you might receive the glory, the honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're living in some unusual times. I believe we're living in the last days. We don't come to that conclusion by outward signs. The outward signs we find in the book of Revelation are really dealing with the Jewish people. Because we know from the Word of God, the next great prophetic event that's going to strike us is what we call the rapture. The trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised together with them, and we'll always be with the Lord. What a thought. What a thought, to be ever with him. But we do know by some things that are taking place that we are in the last of the last days. Let me read you a couple of sentences, if you please, from two places in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now notice what the perilous times are. He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Does that sound like the day in which we live? I've had the privilege to grow up in an unusual time. I remember as a boy that we had outdoor plumbing. I remember as a boy that we didn't have toilet paper. We had Sears and Roebuck catalogs. I remember my mother baking bread on an old wooden stove. And we didn't even have wood because we were corn farmers, and we would shell our own corn and take the cobs and burn them in that stove. I remember my daddy taking, we had a toaster. I mean, this was state-of-the-art stuff. You put it in the side, you raise the little lid up, and it got it hot on one side and would toast it. You'd let the lid down after you thought it was done. You'd turn it around and do the other side. And we were really modern because we could do two pieces of bread at once. My, how things have changed. And the world has changed. We saw a time when you could walk off and leave your house unlocked, and you could leave your keys in your car and nothing would be thought of it. Things have changed, have they not? And so we live in a time when, listen, we have to be so very cautious of many, many things. Listen to these words in 2 Peter. In chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so we live in a time when people scoff at the word of God, scoff at the idea that Jesus is coming once again. They laugh at the idea that God created it all. It didn't happen as a big bang that exploded out of nothing. By the way, it takes more faith, I think, to believe that than to believe that God created everything. There are those that say, well, God took many, many thousands of years to create the earth, and thus he did it by a series of evolutionary facets. I would say to you, I wonder why God took 7 days when he could have done it in 7 seconds if he wanted to. But God did it for you and for me, that we might understand that there is a day every week that we need to set aside for him. And what a comfort there is for the child of God, though, as we think about Psalm 91, in the face of the storms of life. While the world right now is scrambling in fear with this coronavirus, we need to understand something, that is, he is our guardian. This doesn't mean we take things lightly or are we careless. I mean, it's exciting now to walk in the bathroom and actually see a kid get done, walk to the sink and wash their hands. We ought not to take things lightly, but it does mean that we, need to understand this. It is our faith that needs to direct us, not our fears. The spirit of evil is putting people in panic, but the Spirit of God doesn't give us panic, it gives us peace. Amen? Listen, I can remember 9 years ago, or 11 years ago, with the H1N1. It was much worse than we have today, and there was no panic. It tells me in very simple terms that the news media can manipulate the masses. But we need to allow the Lord to lead us beside the still waters. We need to allow him to restore our soul. Our text has some wonderful promises. Did you see them? Look at verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Notice this, and from the noisome pestilence. That's talking about diseases. Notice verse number 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Notice verse number 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now I understand this morning, it is appointed unto men once to die. And most likely it's going to come through some sort of sickness. That's been the course of nature. I mean from the beginnings of mankind. But you and I don't have to stand in fear of that. We have some hope. And that hope comes when we have allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem our hell-bound soul by the precious blood he shed on the cross. You see, here's what took place. My Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Now the verse goes on, thank God for that. But it says the wages of sin is death. We find that since the time of Adam, men die. Why do they die? Is it sickness or accidents, or is it sin? Sin has brought about those other things. But our sin is the reason we die. We find from the Word of God that Jesus Christ died. But there's something marvelous about that. He didn't die for his sin. He was the spotless, matchless, perfect Son of God. You see, in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, it says that on him was laid the iniquity of us all. Iniquity, a big word for sin. And so what we find here is that my sin, your sin, it was laid upon Christ, and he went to the cross there to die for our sin. It's a message we preach over and over. It is so simple, and yet it seems to miss the heart of many, many people. But here's something else that's marvelous about that too. And as our sin is laid upon him, his righteousness is laid upon us. We are made righteous in Christ. For years and years, many of you got into it a little bit with Doc, and I don't mean in a negative sense. And he'd walk in and say, "How you doing?" And you'd say, "Perfect." Because that's what he wanted you to say. You know why he wanted you to say that? Because in Christ, that's what you've been made. It's not that you live perfect. It's not that you are perfect. It's the fact that Jesus Christ makes you perfect. How's that happen? When we put our faith in him. When we believe what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. What simplicity, what marvelous preparation God made for you and for me. Now, there's a key here. When we think about pestilence, we think about all these different things. And a key is preparation. You know, people are flocking to the stores to buy toilet paper. I told Katie yesterday, we had an extra case. I said, take a card table, go out into the front yard and set it up and sell it for a dollar roll. She said, "Grandpa, I could get more than that." Their biggest concern ought not to be if they have toilet paper. Their biggest concern ought to be, where are they going to go if they die? Did I tell you the story about the barber? He was a Christian man, and he began to get really convicted. He says, "I need to share my faith with my clients." And so one morning he was praying, asking God to help him with that. And he said, "Lord, the first man that walks into my door, please help me to share my faith with him." And so a few moments later, a man walks into the door, sits down in his chair, and he says to him, "What will you have?" He says, "I'd like to have a shave." So he walks in the back room, grabs his straight razor, grabs his Bible, and walks out and stands in front of him and says, "Are you ready to die?" But there's a key there, isn't there? We need to be ready. And we find that this is a time where folks are in panic, that we can become a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time that we can draw nearer unto the Lord. And we can see him as we notice here in these verses, like the little chick that comes underneath the hen's wings. I had the privilege to grow up on a farm. Every spring, my mother would go to the hatchery, and she would come home with these boxes with little baby chicks. She would buy a gross of them. That's 144 little chicks. She'd get home, and we had this, they call it an incubator. It was just a big round hood, and it stood maybe about 3 foot tall. And at the bottom was a place about so wide they could actually walk out from underneath this thing. And there was a heat lamp inside. And so in the spring of the year, when it was rather cold, why, that lamp would be on, and they could be in there, and they could keep themselves nice and warm. And after a while, things would warm up outside, and they begin to go outside, and they would begin to grow. Once in a while, we'd have an old hen that we didn't take the eggs away from. And they'd sit on those eggs. And after a time, that little chick inside would begin to peck on that egg and come forth. They would hover around that old hen, and if things seemed a little bit dangerous, our wings to kind of come up and they'd come underneath and they'd be nice and safe. Do you know the mom of anything you don't want to mess with when they got their babies? That includes chickens. And so they'd scramble under wings. And so he's talking here about this very thing. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4 says, shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Wow. It's a time to draw near unto the Lord. Look at the word dwelleth. That's an interesting word. ETH puts it in a certain tense in the Word of God. It's called the present perfect tense. Present perfect tense simply means it's something that is ongoing. It's not past tense. It's not future tense. It's right now and right now and right now. And as the right nows continue, so does whatever that verb is. And so he's talking about something that is constant. We're not talking about some rapturous moments with the Lord. We come to church and get all stirred up. No, we're talking about that which is constant all the time. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Today for the Christian, I believe, is a day to check our faith as opposed to fear. For the lost, it's a day to realize that you're mortal and death could overtake you at any moment. More people will die today on our highways than will die of the flu. More people today will die of suicide than the flu because they're under such despair. But it can overtake. I ask you this question. When you breathe your last breath, what happens to your soul? What happens? Here's a truth. We go clear back to the book of Genesis and we find out something. God made us in what? His image. Now we know from the New Testament that's not talking about a physical image because God is spirit. And so we're talking about a spiritual image. And so we're talking about some qualities of God that He's placed in us. Do you realize that when God made us, He did not make us to die? Do you realize that though the body will die, the soul will never die? Though we take the body to the graveyard, the soul is either in heaven with God or in hell with Satan. It's one or the other. It's a beautiful picture for some and an ugly picture for others. I asked the question, when you breathe that last breath, what happens to your soul? You will live either in His presence in heaven for all of eternity, or with Satan forever in hell. The choice is yours. You say, how's it mine? Very simply, a verse that changed my life, Romans 10:13, for God, I'm going to 3:16, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Is that a promise? Yes. Who's it signed by? Signed by God. God wrote that. That is His promise. I have a life insurance policy. I'm not sure why they call it life insurance, because it's not good until I'm dead. But we don't like to call it death insurance, do we? But I have a policy, and on that policy, it tells all the stipulations, and it puts a guarantee of this into our hands. that this company is going to pay so much money to my wife and family. I'm worth more dead than alive. But I have another policy. It's called the Bible. For whosoever. Wow. Madison, that's your name, whosoever. Amen. It is. Whosoever. Christina, you're a whosoever. Whosoever what? Shall call, shall be saved. Why would you call? We don't call until we recognize we have a need. Somebody said, well, the only time people pray is when they have a need. That's true. If we'd recognize how much need we have, we'd pray more. And we have a need for salvation because upon us is really the debt of sin. And we must pay it unless we allow, through our faith, that debt to be laid upon Christ. How does that take place? When we ask him to do it. He said it's that simple. Don't you have to do something to get it? Aren't you glad you don't have to do 300 push-ups to go to heaven? It wouldn't work, would it? Aren't you glad you don't have to walk 50 miles today to go to heaven? Wouldn't work. This does work. Whosoever calls. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a time we can gather together and rehearse the marvelous things of God. Lord, thank you that at a time of what seems like peril to so many people, we can pause and have the peace of God. Lord, help us to be a people who live by faith, a people who bring calm rather than calamity. A folk that just trust you no matter what comes. As our missionaries go into the face of malaria, may we step into the face of whatever's before us, knowing that you protect us until that day you're ready to take us home. Lord, I pray for any in this room that knows you're not a Savior, today will be a day. I pray for that individual who's been operating in the realm of fear that they might change to faith. Allow you to move in their hearts and have the marvelous peace of God and peace with God. Bless in these moments of invitation, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.